So welcome, Matt. And when is the last time you performed in New York City?
I think it was 2007, maybe.
2007. And what was the setting for that? Just refresh me, because I know we don't see you here very often.
I played at the Stone, I think.
The Stone.
2007. Mm-hmm. There was that show. Didn't we play with at Issue Project Room with John Engel?
Was that in 2007?
It was around that time.
Right, just down the street.
Yeah.
Right. So it's great to have you back. And so you're traveling pretty light this time around. You've been here a few times with other musicians, with the SF Sound Group. I should have mentioned that. That's a full performing ensemble that he's a part of and I guess co-director of. But so you're traveling light, just clarinet, and you have a program of works mostly involving some electronics, right? So you seem to be, as long as I've known you, and we go back reasonably far, I mean, you've always done a lot of computer music, but also a lot of clarinet, so it's kind of this kind of dance between worlds, but also a lot of acoustic music. So tell us a little bit about, like, I guess maybe the main piece tonight, you have a few main pieces, but the piece with tape and clarinet. Tell me about that piece. What's the title?
It's called Crust.
Crust.
And it's, I think it's like 20 years old now.
Mm-hmm. So that would
getting
be
to be 20 years, so.
1994, roughly?
Yeah.
Crust.
And it's probably my most conservative piece, but I'm still playing it.
Conservative in the sense of that it conforms to common practice of some kind or another?
It's basically a clarinet concerto in a way, and the tape functions as a poor man's orchestra.
Mm-hmm.
All the sounds on the tape come from my own clarinet playing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of, you could say, some sort of classical tape process, you know, where you're taking a very small set of sounds and trying to manipulate them into a whole piece. And also it's conservative that it actually deals with, there's some pitches and there's a melody and a pulse, which most of my music doesn't have. So,
right. So it's a real, it's a very concerto-like in that.
Yeah.
Your playing is kind of soloistic and virtuosic. And
yeah. Yeah.
To some
we'll
extent.
See. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Definitely, the first half, it's the clarinet's the foreground, but as it evolves, the tape kind of becomes the foreground.
Mm-hmm. And so the tape, now, we're using the word tape kind of loosely these days as just a proxy for anything pre-recorded, right, or not being played live by anybody. So,
yeah.
But how is this tape part, how was it constructed, and what kind of tools or processes?
Well, this was the early 90s, so most of that was, like I said, I sampled my own playing, and it, most of the processing was done in C Sound,
right?
And you know, the granular synthesis was all the rage back then. So I was running. I wrote some C code that would generate these sort of algorithmic granular C Sound, what they call scores, just a list of notes, and then some of those were pretty heavily involved that I would have to set going like at five in the afternoon and then let it go all night and come back in the morning to
right.
You know, see if it worked or not.
That was the state of computing at that time.
Yeah. So running on a Next box.
Next box, right. So this was, just you mentioned C Sound. Now this is something that you have a long relationship with, C Sound, and now didn't you create essentially or retrofit or redesign the original C Sound for the Macintosh? Isn't that right? Or something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, it was kind of what they call a front end. So it was a little UI interface to run on the Mac.
But you were you designed that and published
yeah,
it, I guess.
Yeah. So. I'm not doing that anymore, though. But
are you working with CSound at all anymore? Or?
No, not really.
Yeah, I mean, just
I did go to the just going back to what you mentioned. What is tape?
Right.
I just recently went to the International CSound Conference in Boston. I think it was in November, and I played this piece, and probably I was the only thing on that whole thing that had just tape. Well, no, that I take that back. There were others, but you know, you rarely see that. You know, if it's a live performance. You know, usually it's you assume now it's kind of a live processing kind of thing, and you'll hear the piece. It's there's a lot of interaction, so it's kind of fake,
right.
Fake live processing. I couldn't do live processing at that point, but so all these kids were like, how are you doing that? Like it was so synchronized, and
live,
you know, you played a note, and then the tape played a note, and I was like, I learned my piece, like, I know. But
so you're telling me that computer music artists, people working with tools like CSound or digital processing, they aren't doing pre-constructed backing parts anymore. That's not as common as it at one
yeah.
time. I mean, the early days of electronic music, even that was pretty common, right? I mean, in university mm-hmm. music anyway, of fully composed electronic parts that cellists or you know live musicians would play. So that's not happening anymore. I guess I was at least judging by this conference. Right?
Yeah.
But in that way, this is a very conservative and traditional piece in many ways,
yeah.
and it's 20 years old. So that's exciting that we get to reach back that far. Then you have another piece, but we'll talk about that later. But we also have two other pieces by other composers tonight,
yeah.
And I think both of them are interesting. I guess the Steve Reich piece, I mean, it's kind of a little, not often heard piece, right? I mean, it's a pretty early one, one of his early
yeah.
phase pieces. Right? What's the
Reed,
title?
Reed Phase.
Right.
1967, maybe?
Right, so that's very beginning
yeah.
works for
yeah.
him, really. And how did you find that piece? I mean, I gather I'm guessing it's kind of obscure piece among his catalog. I mean, how did
yeah,
you
I don't,
get a hold of it?
I found it in the library at Milk.
There you go.
You might not be able to buy it, I'm not sure. There are some recordings out there of it, so.
Yeah, I found one or two. I think it was, what's that German saxophonist?
Ulrich
Krieger,
Krieger
right?
Yeah.
He's recorded it. Well, great. And how long have you been doing that piece? I mean, I've never heard you do that. Is that
off and on, past 10 years maybe. Mm-hmm. And actually, when I first started doing it, I made my own realization rather than, you know, it's sort of like if you're familiar with, it's not piano phase because that's violin phase. If you're familiar with that,
mm-hmm.
It's the same concept that the loop is on the two tape loops
right.
with a live player. But I found myself when I was working on it that I would start listening to the tape and just like my fingers would then all of a sudden want to lock in and like I'd skip a note and then go back in phase. So I first started doing it where I used a delay line instead that would, you know, the tap would sort of gradually get bigger. So it would be in phase, and then gradually the tap would move out of phase, and that way I could, no matter what I played, the phase would be constant. But for tonight, that was just more hassle than it's worth, because that involved the live mic and everything, so this is closer to what his original concept was.
Which is just an acoustic player playing against a single line on the tape?
Yeah, I think it's...
It's like a two-voice piece, essentially, or...?
With me, it's three voices, so...
Okay.
It's called, you know, originally calls for two tape loops.
I see. So the two tape loops. Okay, I got it. And so, I mean, for those of you who aren't familiar with these phase pieces, I mean, they're very famous by now, but nonetheless, maybe it bears repeating that you have these repeating melodies, and then the performer's job is to try to play at a steady tempo, but not the same tempo as that on the recording, so that you
right.
create these kind of inadvertent rhythms and patterns and overtones, and that's the idea.
Yeah. Right?
How long does the piece run?
For tonight, I think it's 7 minutes. I actually just recently made a studio version that's 49 minutes.
Whoa!
Just one.
But I cheated, so it's a studio version. So.
Just, 1/7 of the
yes.
Duration. Okay, well, good. Well, that'll give us a sense of
yeah
what you know, what's possible. Okay, and then the other piece, which I'm not familiar with, but I am familiar with the composer, Dennis Smalley,
mm-hmm.
Clarinet Threads. And Dennis Smalley, now, I don't know a great deal about him, but he's a British electroacoustic composer.
Yes.
Tell us about that piece.
I can't say much. It's similar to my piece in that it's a tape part that runs continuously with a live clarinet, and the tape part at least sounds like it's all coming from a clarinet material.
Hmm.
One thing that's different in the score, it calls for like 8 microphones or something, and microphones close and microphones far, and that the idea is that there would be someone at the mixing board diffusing the clarinet sound as well throughout the space.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's optional,
mm-hmm.
at least for a small space like this. So.
And what? When is this piece? When was this composed? This piece, roughly?
In the mid '80s.
So was it an influence on your piece? Or I mean, I know you've been interested in that kind of school, as
yeah.
it were, of electroacoustics—the English, the Canadians, the French, I guess, all of them, right? I mean, in some form or another, you've had.
You mentioned we do. I'm involved in this tape music festival every year, which is. Really coming out of the British acousmatic sound diffusion school, I guess you could call it, which that sort of influence, that sort of came out of France and sort of Bernard Parmigiani, I know, was sort of one of the main influences of John T. Harrison, who was one of our influences.
By way of England.
Yeah. So, and so I do a lot of tape only music that's sort of coming out of this English acousmatic scene, and you know, where we have 20 speakers all around the audience, and in the performance we're diffusing the sound around the space. Mm-hmm. I've never actually written. I mean, I've performed my piece like that as well, but that wasn't the original intent. And I've never written a more recent piece with clarinet that sort of uses those that approach. So the Smalley's has more connection to that.
Right.
My interests. So.
Right. Now they just. In terms of terminology, I guess acousmatic, what does that refer to exactly? The idea of a technique by which sound is diffused around a multi-channel system, or is it something more stylistic?
I think there's a specific definition that when it first came about that I can't remember, and now it's especially in the States, I think people are just sort of using it for tape music or what they used to say, music concrete.
Broadly used.
Yeah.
Acousmatic. Right, but the Tape Music Festival is really one of a rare thing at this point. I mean, it's uncommon to have a festival of that with that kind of focus in this era.
And it's the same thing. We started it because and that was about 10 years ago, I think, and it was just some friends of mine that were like, hey, no one's performing tape music anymore. You know, the trend now is, you know, some dude with a laptop on the stage, right. and it's kind of cool to turn all the lights off and not look at anything and not think about a performer and just have that environment. And we just did it for ourselves. We just took all our studio equipment, hooked it all up together and called it a festival, and then people started showing up, and it's so we kept on doing it every year, and we're kind of the only ones doing it, so at least in that scope. So it's
been pretty successful, right? I mean, you get good audiences.
Yeah, I think so.
Good press. It's been a pretty so how many years has it been now?
It's been like 10 years.
10 years, yeah. Right. Well, great. Well, so before we start, I guess I want to just get a sense of what you're doing. I mean, this is your only visit to New York, but what are you that I'm aware of in the foreseeable future? But what kind of things are you cooking up out in the Bay Area right now? What's on the horizon for you? What kind of competitions, events, etc.? Like in the short term, like what's really going on?
Well, one thing is. So my group SF Sound, I've tried to do a piece for them every year or so, and you know, we're all improvisers, we're all composers, we're all readers, so that's always the pieces sort of involves some element of improvisation and traditional notation. And I have the tape music stuff, but I've never really combined it, so that's sort of what one thing that's. We're in the process of trying to commission myself. we'll try to get some money but I'm going to do it anyway. So that's just something we've been.
Mm-hmm. These are pieces. You're writing a piece that is both live and with both for musicians and tape. Part.
Yeah, combining both.
I see.
So I guess in some ways, getting back to this clarinet and tape piece.
A new round of that.
You know, my day job is a computer programmer, so I have all this programming chops. So I tell myself I really should be using this knowledge for a more artistic means, but it's hard coming home and staring at the computer again
after staring at it all day.
So I recently quit my job, so maybe now's a good time to start working on that.
But you're still sporting the team spirit there that you left,
yeah.
Boxer.
It's a good product.
You and I communicate with Boxer. Anybody use Boxer? It's like a digital walkie-talkie, like where you can press the button, talk, and they get it on the other end.
Or audio texting is what I call
audio
it.
Audio texting, and you send pictures. Well, that's yesterday.
Yeah.
Yesterday's news. But you're working on some other programming jobs and interesting. I mean, a lot of what you've done is interesting. Besides being, you know, for hire, you know, music related and stuff. Anything on the horizon in that realm that you're working on? That's interesting?
Well, I did. I actually. There's a guy. I forget the school he's at in Canada, but he. Hired me to write an iPad version of NC, Terry Riley's NC, so that's what I'm working on right now. It's sort of some anniversaries this year of the piece.
He's turning 80.
Terry's turning 80, yeah.
But I think the piece also has a...
No, he's not turning 80.
I think the piece is 64.
Yeah.
Okay. But he's turning 80 too.
No, he's not.
He's turning 80 next year.
Next year, okay. 35, right, that makes sense.
Really?
I don't think he was born in 1934. I'm sure of it.
You're putting me like
there.
Really?
There is something.
I don't know. I could be.
Like,
I might be wrong. You might be right.
You're gonna fail me now. Oh my god.
Stop doing
We're going to verify that. We'll verify. But so it's an interactive. It's an interactive NC, like playable kind of NC environment.
Yeah,
like
it's only going to output MIDI, and it's for like a single person, I guess, to perform the whole piece. So you basically have all, you know, he wants like 16 sliders, and you can change the cells on each one and.
It's like an Xbox version of NC.
Yeah, I get. Yeah, so, oh. iPad. It's iPad. And Terry Riley gave the thumbs up for it. So look for it on the iTunes store, I guess.
Well, great. Well, that all sounds great. We'll look for that. But I guess so then the main piece that you're going to start with here, and we're going to start that shortly. So. Just to sketch out the rest of the evening, so we're just going to wrap up here, and Matt's going to begin performing basically at once, and then after that first piece, we'll have a short break. You know, don't leave the building or anything. Just a short break, and then the two aforementioned pieces by Reich and Dennis Smalley and Crust as well. But the piece we're going to begin with is, so this is a piece that is a kind of an ever-evolving piece that you've been doing for years that really is about you and your clarinet, right? So tell us a little bit about, we're calling it improvisation, right?
Yeah.
At this point.
I think I call it improvisation for solo clarinet, but it's registered with ASCAP, so it's, I guess, technically a piece. And it's basically all these things I've developed over the years on the instrument, exploring the extended techniques, you know, I never wrote anything down, but I call it an improvisation, but at this point it's more of a composition than an improvisation. But you know, I have territories I know I'm going to go to, and every performance is different, and you know, might be mixed up in different orders, or I'm trying in real time trying to find new ways to get to the different territories. What else I should say? I mean, I've done a lot of electronic music, so this is really influenced by electronic music. And in fact, all my music, kind of one of my approach is like, I try to make my acoustic music sound like electronic music, and I try to make my electronic music sound like acoustic music. And I've sort of always done that. So this is really me trying to make electronic music on the clarinet and in the space. So I do explore a lot of trying to, you know, how tones are interacting with the space. Mm-hmm. And used to not tell people this, but I got some people pissed off with me. So I always, at some point, explore difference tones in the space. So if you're not familiar with that, that's kind of a psychoacoustic phenomenon where you're hearing lower pitches that are created from interference between multiple high pitches. It can happen other ways, but that's how I'm doing it. So I'm not trying to just play annoyingly high tones to piss you off. It's actually, I'm exploring that effect. So
difference tones.
That's my disclaimer.
Right. And then there's a lot of circular breathing figures very prominently.
Yeah, you'll see that.
Yeah. As well. Not that that's a disclaimer, but yeah. It's worth noting. So, okay, well, anything else? You want to say any other?
No.
Good. Well, I guess shall we get into it?
Yeah.
All right. Well, good. So we'll get right into it and hold on to your hat, I guess. So thank you, Matt.
So yeah,
yes.
We'll see how long I can last. That's usually how the duration of the piece, but 20 to 30 minutes. That this first piece.